Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Now, day two of the new year, and that for many people that means a new you, and the new year is a chance to kickstart something new in your life, new habits. But how do we actually keep all the resolutions? What are the tips and tricks to maintain healthy habits for the entire year? Well, for more advice on this, I'm joined now by personal trainer Carl Henry. Good morning, Carl.
Colm, good morning. Happy New Year. How are you?
Happy New Year to you too. So people make resolutions, but as Harry Magee was only joking earlier, I think he broke it on day one in his media outing. So for Harry and all the listeners out there who are making New Year's resolutions, what are the big reasons most of us can't maintain our resolutions for the entire year? Or should I stop that defeatist chat?
Well, first of all, I think we can see already, even on the way into studio today, the roads are full of people walking and cycling, even though it's cold, they're out. Those resolutions have started. And I suppose what we really want to do is to get people to set them properly so that they last. One of the big mistakes people make is that they go for the big scary one, the big scary goal, the big scary change. And big scary changes, they're really difficult to succeed at. They're really difficult to make happen.
Like what? People talking about giving up sugar or giving up caffeine or giving up booze, is it?
Oh, they're minor enough now, in all fairness.
All right, go on, well, give us a big one. What are you talking about when you say big ones?
So, like, it could be, we'd won on Instagram yesterday, someone, they want to run a marathon in 4 months and they can't run a 5K. And you're like, well, look, that's really an 8-month project, not a 4-month project. So okay, set yourself up for success and give yourself time. Big weight loss goals could be another one. Just, you know, dramatic changes. Dramatic changes are very difficult to do for the long term. We can nudge people towards smaller changes over a longer time frame because we know that's what works in the long term. It's not the usual 3-week fix in January. It's long term. It's year round. It's lifelong. And that's what we want people to do.
Well, give us a good example now of a small challenge and then how you embed it so it just becomes part of your daily life and you don't really see it as something you've taken up.
Absolutely. So can you go to bed every night by 10 o'clock or half 10, depending on the household? That's a really small challenge. And it's actually, it is a challenge, right? But it's small. And depending on your household, it may or may not work for you. But having a time to go to bed gives you sufficient sleep. Sleep is the foundation of all the habit changes that you want to make. Another simple one is drink more water. Another simple one is get off the train or the bus one stop earlier. Can you go for a 30-minute walk every single week? There are small things. The chances are you can do it. And it's not too scary. It's manageable. And the thing is, you succeed at it. And it's a succession that makes it a habit because you feel good when you succeed. Where if you're trying to go to the gym, say, 5 mornings a week at 6 a.m. in the morning, and you're not a morning person, we all know, and everyone listening in knows, that's not going to work in the long term. And then you fall into the defeatist attitude, which is, I couldn't do it, and I failed. And then you get into the whole cycle of feeling bad about it, which is never good. So we have 5 key questions we want people to ask themselves as they listen in, as they're thinking about New Year's, New You. These 5 questions will guide you to setting the right targets and goals for this year.
So it's not about the big resolution. It's about the 5 questions. Question number one, what is it?
So the first one is you reflect. So what went well in 2024? Like, what, from a health perspective, what really worked for you? What did you enjoy? What did you get, you know, what did you feel positive about? What did you succeed at from a health perspective? Did you drink more water? Did you go to the running club? Did you do a 5K? Did you do a marathon? Whatever. By finding that, you're identifying your strengths, basically, from a fitness perspective. It went well. It was really good. And then on the second question, you flip that. What didn't go well? So what did you not manage to succeed at? Did you have, I don't know, too many coffees every single day? Too many takeaways each week? The wrong setup at the weekends in terms of a social setup to set yourself up for success? Like, what just didn't work? And that's the really important one, is finding what didn't work. And then looking at the why, which brings us to question 3, which is what prevented you from succeeding? So it didn't work for you. Well, let's reflect on that a little bit and try and find out, well, why didn't it work for you? Was it, you know, too ambitious? Was it too hard? Was it the wrong environment? Was it the wrong training plan? Was it, well, whatever, you know, everyone has a different reason. But by reflecting, you look back before you go forward. And it's looking back, it's reflecting, it's getting to know yourself from what works, what doesn't work. And then you say, okay, I've really looked at that. And like, you know, a nice way of doing that is get a cup of tea, put some music on or a cup of coffee and give yourself an hour with a pen and paper and properly look at this. And like, no one really does this. They do the fun stuff with, oh, well, here's the target. But actually, if you do this, if you look through 2024, look at what worked and what didn't, what prevented you, that's the foundations for long-term success for 25. And that's what we want to do for people.
Before we get into questions four and five that people need to be asking themselves, let's go back a bit to question one. What is a good health outcome when people are honestly assessing, you know, what went well? Because there are a lot of things people enjoy, but they may not be the same thing as what a healthy choice was.
Yeah, well, what went well? It's different for every single person, right? The key, from a health perspective, it's a healthy change that made you feel better, that gave you more energy, that made you feel more positive. And for every single person, that can look different. So that could be losing a little bit of weight. That could be doing more exercise. It could be going to that class that you love to do. It has a slightly different, you know, a different thing for each person. Even from a work perspective, it can be standing more in the office during the day or using the stairs instead of taking the lift. There are all things that worked well. And what you're trying to identify is what works for you. Because we're all different. And what works for me, Colm, and what works for you are two very different things. So you're trying to really get to know yourself a little bit. And then from that health perspective, just identify it. Because it's the knowing what worked well is the key thing to looking forwards in terms of 25 and then what's going to work for you.
All right, take us on. Jump us on to question number four then. What should people be asking themselves?
Now we get to the fun stuff is you've looked back, you've done the reflection. Okay, what would you like to do in 2024? And I know we opened with the big scary thing being challenging. It is. So like break it down to smaller, more achievable tasks. So, you know, the classic one is weight loss. So let's chat about it. If it is a stone in weight loss, a stone can be a lot for people. We'll break that down to £1 a week over the course of 14 weeks. That's much more achievable. It's simpler to do. The thing is, nobody wants to do that hard bit, to break it down over a longer period of time or whatever it is, just break it down.
Yeah, well, what should people be paying attention to there? Because sometimes people eat, you know, the less healthy foods when they're in a particular mood. I mean, should they sit down with that same pen and paper that they're talking about and go, you know, when do I eat the bad stuff? Why do I eat the bad stuff? And maybe how can I change the reason I'm doing that in 2025?
Absolutely. Like we all stress eat in some way, shape or form. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's a reaction to a very stressful life and life is phenomenally stressful. And identifying that is important, but also not doing what everyone has done. And you see it all over. I've seen it all over Instagram the last 2 days. It's I'm never having a takeaway. You know, no takeaways this year. No alcohol. No chocolate. No crisps. The no diet doesn't work, and the no approach to 2025 doesn't really work either. It should be balanced. So whatever you struggle with, from if it's food or if it's movement, like, trying to cut it all out is never a good idea. So you want balance. You want that 80-20 approach where you can say, okay, well, look, I might have I've had three takeaways a week over the last 3 or 4 months. I know that's not good for my health. I'm going to have one. And that's a significant improvement for your health. Significant. Or I got no exercise for the last couple of months. Therefore, I'm going to do one session a week. One session of half an hour in duration. And you're succeeding at those tasks. And by looking for 2025 to succeed and set yourself up to succeed, is that it's really, really important. But don't aim to cut everything. By cutting everything out, it is short term. And that's what businesses thrive off this time of year. We don't want that this year. We want long-term health and long-term succession.
And defining success, do you need to set, you know, a realistic goal as to what defining success is? Or, you know, might that success not show up on the scales? You know, people may not lose the weight over a given week, but there might be other things going on in the week that they should recognise as successes and, you know, move on into the next week, maybe not with that sense of failure, which might cause them to sabotage themselves a bit.
Absolutely. It's a great point. You know, success is different for every single person. You do need to measure it somehow. And that is really important, right? It has to be tangible, because that's how you know if you're succeeding or not. If it is a weight perspective, scales is from a scales perspective, weight is the least important thing. You need to know your muscle mass. You need to know your body fat, and a smart scales will deliver that. But look to the bigger picture by moving more. If this is what you're aiming to do in 25, you're going to have more energy. You're going to sleep better. You're going to deal with stress better. You're going to make better food decisions. You're going to be a better person to be around. And they're all non-weight related successes. So there are always successes there. And it's nice depending if you're that type of person, it is nice on a Sunday to sit down and say, okay, look, what worked this week? Like, what went really well? How do I feel? You know, to review that each week as you go along, because there are successes all the way along, and not to get sidetracked, because more often than not, for pretty much for most people, change is difficult, right? And it's not linear. So it's never going to be perfect. So stop trying to set it up for perfection. Perfection doesn't exist in the real world. It exists on social media, but in the real world, it doesn't. Change is there's bumps in the road. When there is a bump on the road, no matter what it is, the key thing is you don't fixate on that. Okay. You just accept it, deal with it, and that's normal. That it's you're aiming for long-term changes as opposed to perfection, because perfection is setting us up to fail every single time.
Yeah, fail again, fail better, as Samuel Beckett put it. Question five then, Carl.
So you've identified your goal for this year. Brilliant. You've looked back on last year, what worked and what didn't. Now the final piece is this, and this is the hard question. It's what are you willing to do to make that happen? What are you willing to do to achieve that goal? Because you know, it's going to come down to change and sacrifice in some way, shape or form. So it might be putting yourself first. I'm going to put myself first this year to hit that goal. Brilliant. I'm going to surround myself with a community of people to hit that goal. Amazing. I'm going to have a chat with my partner to tell that partner I want to do this and that I need their help. Great. It's identifying what changes you're willing to make to achieve the goal that you've set. And those changes, you know, the sacrifice is important. Now, those changes are important, but identify them. And what are you willing to do? Because if the goal is strong enough, and if it's important enough, and if it means, really deeply means something to you, you will achieve that goal, but you're going to have to make changes to achieve it. So identify those changes. Don't just leave it to, you know, vagueness when it comes to goals doesn't really work. It has to be specific. It has to be concrete. You have to feel it and mean it and want it. Right. They're all the things that will help you to succeed, as opposed to leaving it quite vague. Write it down, make it concrete and make it happen.
And update the goals regularly then. Update small, specific goals rather than trying to have one to last the year, is it?
Well, you can. See, that keeps it fresh, right? So the goal reward theory comes in there. So if you set a goal, say, for the next week, I'm going to go to bed at 10:30 and you nail it. Brilliant. Give yourself a little reward. Now, that can be a different thing for each person. Then set a different goal because you've succeeded at that one. So it's like building a house, right? It's brick by brick by brick. Well, this is the same theory. It's that 1% atomic habits kind of rule, you know, that James Clear talks about all the time. It's that you nail it and it works, then add to it. Okay. And then you're building up and up over. As people are failing around you, you don't. You're succeeding because you're setting yourself up for success by having those small changes over a longer time frame.
Okay, quick question from a listener for before we let you go. Colm, can you ask Carl about teenagers joining gyms? Young boys wanting to bulk up. Should they be lifting weights, says a listener to 51551.
Great question. It's never been more trendy in the kind of teenage age bracket to go to the gym and be kind of strong, which is brilliant. The key thing there is the gym has to give instruction in terms of learning how to do the movements properly and looking at the weight load. So yes, they can go to gyms. Gyms may have a policy in terms of the age profile of that, but you want to go somewhere where they're going to get serviced, they're going to get talked to, they're going to get instruction, and they're going to get minded because they are young and they're going to do, you know, they're going to try and be the strongest or to do movements that maybe they shouldn't do. So service is absolutely crucial. And anyone going to a gym in Ireland, be a customer, ask for service, get an assessment and make sure that you're doing the things properly because it's so important.
Okay, personal trainer Carl Henry, thanks very much for joining us this morning. Now, coming up, it's under 3 weeks to the inauguration of the next US president. We'll hear what to expect from the end of Biden's term and the beginning of Trump's.
Get in touch on WhatsApp 0870 32 32 32.